Let's get into our class. Our clocks don't seem to be in agreement around here very well. The last bell has rung, hasn't it? I'm slow, and the other one's different in there. All right, in Psalm 46. Both the 45 45, of course, while it was concerning the lilies, it is nevertheless very much a messianic psalm. I think I did not mention that to you at the time, but here the Son of God is revealed. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the Anointed One, God has anointed thee, the seventh verse in that. Those two together there are a prophetic illustration, or rather the psalm is an illustration of a prophetic psalm. of prophesying by the harp and so on, as it mentioned. That's one of them that is very much in that way. It's prophesying here of something that they just don't know anything about, hasn't been revealed, but reveals that this Thy throne, O God, is speaking of the Son of God who came, who was both Lord and Christ. Now, speaking of Him as God and also as the Anointed of God. So you have both Lord and Christ in those two verses, a messianic psalm. And then in the 46th, another song, of course, for the sons of Korah, which of course are the anointed singers under God, typical of all of those who today are filled with the songs of joy of the Lord, and who are virgins in His sight, espoused unto the bridegroom. So the maidens, the virgins, and with the music. We were down to the fourth verse. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The plural of the tabernacles, as I indicated, indicates His people, wherein God dwells. But there is also, it has a reference then also to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, where we see the river passing. Actually, a stream speaks of as coming out of the throne, coming out of His temple. And it is prefigurative of that heavenly Jerusalem, where it also speaks of the river in 21st chapter of Revelation, the river that proceeds out of the throne of God. Now, we sing a song a lot of time that flows by the throne of God, but that kind of missed the point. The song kind of missed the point. It's not flowing by the city of throne of God. It actually is spoken of as proceeding out of the throne of God. The river of life. You see, it's figurative, of course. But then it tells you in the Revelation there is a river. And on both sides of the river we see the trees of life bringing forth their fruits in their season and so on. Very much the same as you see in Ezekiel 47, but this one in Ezekiel 47 is down here on the earth. It's speaking of the Jerusalem, which will be, after that God has done some wonderful things in the land, and the whole land is turned into a plain, and there's a great earthquake, and the mountain, Mount Olives, is divided, and there's a great valley runs through there, and the waters of the Mediterranean flow right out and even clear out of the Atlantic through the Mediterranean down into the Dead Sea, and all the fishes of the Great Sea, that is the Atlantic Sea, and the Mediterranean, fishes of all species of that are in those will be also in where what is now the Dead Sea, but it won't be a Dead Sea anymore. Every place where the waters come, there is life. They live. And you see, it's speaking of the waters of life, that wherever the water of life reaches, there is life, and they live. And the fishes, therefore, are typical of the people of God, who are brought into God's presence and in His kingdom. And even during the millennium, they will be fishermen, will be fishing all in that great river that runs down past Jerusalem there, right by the door, and proceeding streams flowing right out from under the tabernacle, the temple, and the house of God, as it speaks of. And all that is figurative of the house of God, but nevertheless it seems, as far as we can see from what all God says, that whole land is going to be changed and turned into a plain to make room for all that great people that's going to be there again in the land. And there is fulfilled the final natural fulfillment of God's promise to the children of Israel and to Abraham, that He would give him all that land clear from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates as their own there, as they did have in part and had actually control over during Solomon's time, in the very end of David's time, typifying Christ again. But in this time, when the Lord Jesus is ruling and reigning, and we're reigning, those who are overcomers reign with him. I hope we're there with him in the land. His people have power over all the earth. All the kingdoms of the earth are theirs. And so we see that river. But this is a spiritual river that we're actually looking at here, but the others typify it. And not only that, but how literally true, it's hard for us to say how literally true during the millennium these things might even be manifest in the earth, because Satan is bound, the plagues have been taken away, and instead of the thorn there comes up the fruit trees and so on, and people live long again on the earth. Marvelous, marvelous, something to look forward to. Just almost unbelievable, except for the fact that we just believe that God can do all that he says. And we don't know for sure how it's all going to turn out, but it's something wonderful to look forward to. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Psalm 48, 1 and 8, Isaiah 60, 14 and 15. The city of God, and of course, Revelation 21. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, as we also read in Revelation, that God is going to dwell in the midst of his people, and they'll look upon his face, and he'll wipe all tears from their eyes. And then also other scriptures that along in this same manner, showing you that not only God is going to dwell with his people and be with his people, but God dwells with his people now. He has been with his people ever since he had the new covenant, and God has come, and Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. God's with his people now in a marvelous, wonderful way, but there is coming a time when we shall look upon his face, and he will spread his tent over them, his tabernacle over his people. And they will be his people in whom he dwells, and his glory will be in their very presence. They shall look upon his face, we shall see him as he is, and so on. But a few verses on that, Deuteronomy 23:14, Isaiah 12:6, actually 1-6, Isaiah 12:1-6, Ezekiel 43:7, and Hosea 11:9, Joel 2:27, Zephaniah 3:15, Zechariah 2:5-10, and 11, and Zechariah 8:3. Just a few scriptures there that will help you in reading those to get all the full aspects how that God has dwelled with his people. He dwelt with them in the wilderness. He was in the camp with them in the wilderness. He manifested himself to them there in those measures. But you notice that he was not visible to them there. Although he dwelt with them, he was there in the camp, and he wanted them to keep their camp clean, because God wouldn't dwell with them if they had an unclean camp. They wanted things, he meant materially clean. He meant he wanted them to keep the place clean, not be a filthy people. But he indicated he was with them, but you'll know that he was not visible to the people. He was not visible to the people. Now God has been with these people, and he dwelt with these people. He manifested himself in the temple, but not as he is. And then when he manifested himself on the earth, he did dwell with these people. Will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? He did. But they didn't see him even then. They didn't see him even then. They saw the veil only, the veil of flesh. They didn't see him. That's the reason that the Apostle Paul tells you in Timothy, in a letter to Timothy, he says, Jesus Christ, who in his times he will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the Lord of lords and King of kings, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Well, they saw Jesus, didn't they? If he's God, then didn't they see God? Well, they only saw God as they saw him back there at various times in different ways as he manifested himself, but they never saw God as he is. No man has seen God at any time, Jesus said, and neither heard his voice nor seen his shape. But they said they saw God back there. They did, in the manner that they saw him when they saw Jesus. But Jesus said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. But they didn't see the Father as he is. But we do know that there is coming a time that although we are now the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be fully. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, there's that difference. And so in these prophecies, when it speaks of these things, there is still that difference. On the earth, it's going to be different than it is in the heavenly Jerusalem. In the heavenly Jerusalem, you're going to be with him. You're going to see him as he is. He's going to be present with you. But he's also going to be with them down there, very much like he's with us now. Or as he manifested himself to them sometime as an angel of the Lord back in those times. He can appear to them. But they will not be able to see him as he is until they have made that change from mortal to immortal. Man just cannot look on God. No man can look on God and live. See? That's why they were in fear whenever they saw even a representation of God, or rather a manifestation of God, because they said, we have seen God, we'll die. But they didn't die. They didn't die when they saw Jesus, but they did see God manifest in flesh. But when the flesh is taken away and you begin to see him by the Spirit, then you recognize him and know who he was, but you yet have not seen him as he is, whom no man has seen nor can see. Now you see, those sound like contradiction, but they're not contradictions, they're revelations. They're revelations. And so in here, many people are looking for Jesus down here on the earth during the millennium. And since it hasn't come, I don't know for sure. I can't say for sure, but I don't think so. I think it'll be more like it teaches in here, that those who are with him will see him. And those who are not with him will see him only as he manifests himself to them. And he will yet reign over the earth, because he's reigning now. He's reigning now. He has always reigned. God is a king who reigns among. He rules over all nations even now. But there's coming a time when he's going to manifestly rule them with a rod of iron. They're going to absolutely be in control of God. He's not going to just allow them to go contrary to him. There will not be any of that. God will see to it that they do what he wants them to do. Rule them with a rod of iron. All right, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. That is, he's speaking now of the city. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The city of God. The place of the tabernacles of the Most High, or where they are. God is in the midst of her, that is, Jerusalem, Zion. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Now that's speaking of the one down here. The one up there doesn't need any help. The one up there doesn't need any help. They have come to their fullness, see, in his glory. But this one down here needs their help, and he's going to help them. And he's going to fight for her, and he's going to build her up, and he's going to fill her full of people, and they're going to be full of joy, and they're still going to dance and sing and praise the Lord and their children in the streets. And every man will sit under his own vine, his own fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, and nothing shall hurt or destroy among them in that time. But there's still men on the earth, mortal men. And there are still animals, and there are still sinners in the land. still some sinner that God's going to have to punish. And he brings certain punishments upon them. He caused their eyes to rot out or their tongue to rot out. He let no rain come upon the land of those who will not worship the Lord in Jerusalem. See? And those things, of course, are just almost beyond our comprehension, but not beyond our imagination. But every man's imagination is different, I suppose. So we'll have to just wait and see what that's like. But there is some wonderful things portrayed here. Now, this one verse of Scripture just set right in there. The heathen raged. Psalms 2:1 and 2 and 3, right through there. The heathen raged. They set themselves, you see, against the Lord. They took counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, against his Christ. And they thought that they were going to just bring them down. That's what they're trying to do now. And it's just about the time for this thing to... It's happening now, and God's going to utter his voice shortly. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. All kingdoms are moved and stirred. They are now all over the world. This thing is spreading all over the world now. There is a great climax coming right now. God's separating his people. As it was back in the early days when they first came into the land, the Philistines on one side of the valley, the Israelites on the other side of the valley. There was a great valley in between there, and old Goliath tromping up and down, as they say down south. Stomping and a tromping. Now, I never lived down south, but I've been among a lot of them, and I kind of play with their words a lot of times. It's kind of comes out easy sometimes, because I enjoy hearing that. Also, my own family coming out of the mountains of North Carolina, where they were there from way back since I don't know when. And they had their own peculiar speeches also that have always been amusing to me somewhat. Even my own folks carried some of it over, somewhat similar to some of the others. They had their own speech. But this thing is all over the world again today. God's dividing his people, and there's a great valley between them. They're really, and it's going to be a real showdown one of these days, and our David is going to have to do it all over again. And he will. Lord Jesus, who is the greater David, and who is King overall. That one stone is going to smite old Goliath, and that'll be the end of Goliath. That stone cut out of the mountain without hands. He break in pieces all the kingdoms of the earth, the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, the clay, all broken to pieces together. That's this world kingdom up here that's being formed now out of all of these anti-Christ, anti-God nations that have always resisted God. And when this thing happens, the time will come when the saints shall possess the kingdom. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven will be given unto the saints of the Most High. Even here in the earth, there will be an absolute theocracy. God will be reigning. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were removed, God uttered his voice, the earth melted. That's the whole story, right in a nutshell. Amos 9:5 and 2 Peter 3:10. To go with that, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Psalm 9:9. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Now you see, that has never taken place. That has never taken place. But it's going to. Over in the New Testament there, God says, once more I shake not only earth but heaven. Once more time, and that'll be it. Iniquity shall not rise up again the second time. Once more I shake not only earth but heaven also. All those things that can be shaken will be shaken and be removed, be taken out. Only those who are able to stand and cannot be shaken, only those whom God, through after that you have suffered a while, He, God Himself, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you after that you've suffered a while. It takes suffering because we're still a bit rebellious people. The old man is still here, and the devil is still here to use every inclination toward disobedience that he can, because that's the way he lost out. Through his pride and through his disobedience, he lost out with God, and he's trying to drag everybody down with him. Strange thing, but that's the way it's always been. Sinners like to drag other people down with them. But that's all right. Saints like to bring other people up with them. Amen. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. That's an absolute prophecy of the very end time. The very end time. You can't get much further ahead than that. Because then's when he burns the world up. The world and the works thereof shall be burned up. The very elements shall melt with fervent heat. The mountains shall run down like wax. The rivers shall burn like with oil. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. No wars after that. No more wars after that. He calls to the nations. Beat your swords into plowshares, and your spears into pruning hooks. And they shall not lift, no nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The millennium is a time of peace on earth, because God reigns. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. Let's see what I have here. Isaiah 2, 4, 37, 36. He breaketh a bow, cutteth a spear in sunder. Psalm 76, 3. He burneth a chariot in the fire. Another time that's indicative of that is found in Ezekiel 39, verse 9 in particular. When God's people will just be burning up all the war instruments that they might have war no more. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, that is, among all nations, because all nations that have not come into Israel are heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That day the Lord alone shall be exalted. Every high man will be brought down. Every high tree will be brought low. Every proud, those that are proud will be brought down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Many, many times in the scripture. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And if God be with us, who can be against us? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Our refuge. All right, Psalm 47. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah again. In fact, these songs are only for the sons of Korah. They're not for anybody else except to learn from, to be taught from, so that they can become a son of Korah also. Somebody have a question?
Psalm 97 has a lot of parallelism to Black Friday.
Psalm 97 for that 11th verse.
Verses, actually, verses 6 through 10.
All right, and that was Psalm 94.
97.
Pardon me, Psalm 97. Do you have a particular one or the whole verse, whole chapter? Anyway, read Psalm 97. It won't hurt you. I mean, there are lots of places like that. You can just take a whole psalm. In fact, you almost need the whole psalm to tell you all about it, because one verse is just oftentimes as good as another. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
The voice of triumph, that's a victory.
That's victory, triumphing over them.
Clap your hands, all you people. Psalm 48:8. I think it tells you to the waves will clap their hands. And in 55:12, the trees clap their hands. Everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord, and even the trees and the waves and all God's creation one of these days will glorify him. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, Revelation 5, let me give you the verse. It just happened to come to my mind just now. Thirteenth verse. We've just heard four living creatures and the 24 elders and a great multitude of angels glorifying him. And then it says in the 13th verse, Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him, not them, that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him also that liveth forever and ever. So you see, everything, all God's creation in this time will glorify him. The Lord alone shall be glorified. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He's not only wonderful, but he's also terrible. He's great king over all the earth. Nebuchadnezzar learned that he was great and terrible. And many places in the Bible he's called terrible. Zechariah 14:9, for instance. 1 Timothy 6:15. Revelation 17:14, he's a great king, but there are other places that tell you he's terrible also. Terrible. He'd be the terror of the whole earth. They'll hide themselves from his face, crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. Revelation. He shall subdue. Also with that last one, Malachi 1:14. The Lord Most High is terrible. You might also take Psalm 76:12, Deuteronomy 7:21, Nehemiah 1:5. You see, in all ages, under all conditions, God is recognized as being wonderful and mighty and terrible. All right? He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Psalm 18:47, Daniel 7:22-27. He shall choose our inheritance for us. He shall choose our inheritance for us. But there's a place right there in Ezekiel, right where we're studying, where it tells you that he's going to give them their inheritance in themselves, according to their own doings. Those who go away from God, they will get their inheritance in the earth. Like a lot of people say, I think we have our heaven and hell right down here. Some of them do. All the heaven they'll ever get is here, and they're getting some of the hell already, and they'll get some more later on. Tom. George, please.
Psalm 8:6. With Psalm 47, verse 3 there,
that's
might show you how that the saints of God are together with Christ and they have all things.
At Psalm 8:6?
Yeah.
Thanks. More of you have them too. If you think you got a real good one, well, just speak up and we'll drop it down too, because I have to just quit trying to put it to something down pretty soon. I've got to say we're not getting any place. We've got to move, see? So I'm sure that a lot of you have got some that I haven't given you. You should have a lot of them.
that I don't give you, and I could give you lots more, but we don't have time to get them all, or even space to put it down sometimes. All right, but if you do have a good one that's too good to keep, well, you let us know about it. We'll all pick it up also. Wish we had more time to really take care of all of this and gather it together and talk about it. God is gone up. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. God will yet bring his people into their inheritance and will yet choose Jerusalem. He will yet bring back Judah. He will yet gather Israel. He will yet give them all that he ever promised them and even more than they suspect. God is gone up with a shout. Can you remember when? Received up into glory. Jesus took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He also ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men. You see, gone up with a shout. He has the victory. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. And he has come to destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. But the time is not yet, so he's letting him go on for a while. But he can't have that power over you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But one of these times he's going to destroy him, utterly destroy him, and he'll never be again. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be again. And we'll run into that in Ezekiel also shortly. God is gone up with a shout. That is when Jesus rose from the dead, took captivity captive, opened the prison house to the prisoners, and set the prisoners free, took people unto himself, took them out from under the hand of the Satan, took you and me and took us out from under, bought us, redeemed us, brought us back. He has no more claim on us. No more claim on us. Gone up with a shout. The victory is his. He has triumphed. Triumphing over them in it, Paul tells us. God has gone up with a shout, and he who went up with a shout in God was 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And that's the same thing that we're reading about. God has gone up with a shout. Who was he? God. Now, over there in 1 Timothy, it didn't say that. Actually, in the manuscript, it doesn't say God. It says, he who was. He who was. But we know who he was. We know what the rest of it says about it. And this one here tells you that he was God. So many other places say that it was God, that the apostles, and by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that gave the apostles, the apostle Paul, rather, the writing of the Timothy, he made no bones about it. He just, in writing it, he knew who he was. And so when they translated it, they knew enough about who it was, and God wouldn't let them put it any different. God just caused those who wrote even the manuscripts after them, because all these things were written in the hearts of those people, and God saw that it got written, even though they destroyed and hid away and so on. You see, the devil's always trying to destroy all the information. And when they lots of it had been locked up in the Vatican and other places, in the library in Rome. But they couldn't always keep these things from them. And eventually the truth of God comes forward. But the Spirit caused them to translate it. God was manifest in the flesh. Now they can say, well, it didn't say God. No, but it was God. It was God. Everything else tells you it's God. So if you got everything else in favor of it, that's all right. You can say he who was if you want to, but we know still who he was, because all the rest of the Bible tells it was God who was manifest in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 4:4. There was a lot of things that I wanted to look up and would have, but I didn't have the time. I've been having lots of trouble this week with the different things. Working a lot on my furnace and trying to get my leaves off my lawn and besides other things. But, I mean, I'm limited in my time. It's difficult sometimes. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord of the time, we couldn't get it all anyway. So much of it. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Hallelujah. That verse there, that's the way to keep the victory. This is the victory, even our faith and our song. He dwells in the praises of his people. For God is the King of all the earth. And we understand that this one great shepherd is going to be king over all the earth. And Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, the only wise God, our Savior. So there's no problem there. God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. You see, that's what we're doing. We're teaching people to have understanding when they sing praises. Know who they're singing about, what it's about, and what it involves. And because it comes out of our heart, it has effect upon many people to bring them unto God. God reigneth over the heathen. Even now, he always has. God can just cause nation to do just whatever he wants them to. He turneth the hearts of kings as they turn a channel of a river. Easier than Cyrus and those turned the old Euphrates. God can just turn the hearts of kings. Make them do what he wants them to do. God reigneth over the heathen. He sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. With that verse 7, 1 Peter 1, 4. The princes of the people, that is the rulers, the kings, are gathered together. Even the people of the God of Abraham. Because God had told Abraham, he also told Isaac and Jacob and some of the rest of them, that kings would come of them. Kings shall come out of thy loins. Many kings of the earth have been those chosen people of God, and God has set them there for a purpose. And many of them, when the gospel came, the kings received it. In any place the kings received it, the people became Christian, became more or less a Christian nation. In the measure in which the king was a Christian, the people were Christian. In the measure that the king was not a Christian, then the people backslid and were not a Christian. That's always been so. But we find that God still has a people in the earth that are his people that acknowledge him. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Then Psalm 48 for the sons of Korah again. Sing the first two verses with me. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain, oh, his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the city of the north, the city of the great king. I'll have to stop you. You'll be singing it again. You could just sing that again, couldn't you? Praise the Lord. Well, we know what that is, don't we? Amen. Greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Psalm 46, 4, 87, 3. Beautiful for situation. Ezekiel 20 and 6. Psalm 20 and 2. Pardon? You're still singing? All right. The first verse I gave you there was Psalm 46, 4, 87, 3. And with verse 2, Ezekiel 20 and 6. There's another one there. Right. Close by. So let me look at that, Ezekiel 23. I think I can give you another one. Ezekiel 20 and 6. Psalm 48, 2, and Ezekiel 5, 5, and Ezekiel 20 and 15. All right, that'll be enough. Psalm 20 and 2, I gave you that, I believe. On the sides of the north, on the sides of the north. That refers more specifically, it's pretty hard to definitely put Jerusalem itself. And one of these days, that city of Jerusalem is going to be more than, it's just going to fill a great, there won't be the sides of the north even there anymore like it is now, if you turn that thing into a great plain. And the waters are running out of the Mediterranean into the Great Sea and on down into the Gulf of Aqaba. It won't be the same. But that on the sides of the north speaks of the place where God in there has put the heavens, the place where Satan was going to put his kingdom, in the sides of the north, you see. And that's where God is, his throne in heaven. That's where speaking. I was speaking of the heavenly city there by the sides of the north, but the type of it is down here in Jerusalem also. God is known in the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces. That word in the Hebrew palaces there is like the. In my father's house are many mansions, the mansions and the palaces, but it's high places. Actually, in the Hebrew, high places, because it's the greatest city. It's the city on high. It's the city which is above, which is the mother of us all. You see, it's the highest of high places, not only on the earth, but in the heavens also. It's the highest. Her palaces, that is her people, because we are. In my father's house are many mansions. That's his people. That's his, those who are nearest, closest to him, his bride, and those who are very close to him, with him. The Levites, spiritually speaking, in the heavenlies, the 24 elders and such like that, those are God's palaces. And he said that I'll go to prepare a place for you. Right when he said that, I said, if it were not so, I'd tell you something different. I would have told you something else. Or I would have told you it was different than that. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's up there. That's not down here. And if he were only going to come back and be down here, well, then lots of people, lots of Christian people, lots of Holy Ghost people don't believe that you're ever going to be translated out, you'll ever be caught up, except just in the air to meet the Lord, and then settle right back down here, see? We who have looked into the Scripture rather carefully, and God has given us of His Spirit, and find so many other places. Come away. Rise up, my love, my dove, come away. We're looking for that time when Jesus is going to take out his people, keep us from that great hour of temptation. Jesus is going to come back and receive us unto himself, that where he is, not where we are. That where I'll come again, that where you are, I may be. That isn't what he said. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, if he's going to prepare it down here, he just stayed right here and done it. But he went someplace to prepare it. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. Now, where I am, you cannot come now, but you shall follow me hereafter. Now, where is he now? Where is he now? Not over in Jerusalem. Not down here, except in his people. See, he still dwells with his people, but he is also in the heavenlies. In the heavens. I go unto the Father. (Clears throat) What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? See, now the Son of Man, as man, was not there before except as he had been in the presence of God, like John was caught up and like Paul was caught up into the third heaven. Jesus was also. There's evidence that Jesus was also. While he was on the earth, he also had likewise done the same. But when he returns where he was, that is, as God, I go unto the Father. And up there, he's not the Son of God. He is God. He's Son of God only to us here until that sonship provision is passed, and then the Son delivers up the kingdom unto the Father. We then are the sons of God, and he is our God forever. I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the way I understand this, and if you have a different understanding, that's all right. You work it out. And if you find anything real good, let me know, because I want to know more, too. That's as far as I've been able to get, and I believe that's the problem, and I think that's what we're looking at. It makes it difficult sometimes until we see that, or it did for me anyway. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Psalm 91:14 and Ephesians 1:3 and well, I'll have to look and see if that's Ephesians 2:6 or if it's Psalm 2:6. I didn't make that too plain. Let's look at Ephesians 2:6 and see if it's there. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's why it's called high places and so on. And we are seated together with Christ in the heavenlies, and we also have our connection with Zion, which is above. He has set us on high, even as it says of the Lord Jesus in Psalm 91. It didn't say it only for Jesus. It said it for every other one. I have set him on high because he has known my name. And every one of you who have known his name, God has set you on high. Everyone that God has come in to dwell in you, he has made you his temple, his palace, his mansion. And they're precious unto him. They're not just ordinary places of abode. They are palaces. They are mansions. They are high, beautiful, glorious places of abode. For lo, the kings were assembled. We have another 5 minutes, don't we? For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Many have seen these things and have been troubled at it. And kings of the earth, Herod was afraid. Pilate was afraid. And Herod and King Agrippa trembled before Paul as he preached to him. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But not all turn. See, but they do see his glory. They do see him. They're afraid. Old Nebuchadnezzar was afraid. And all kings have been afraid. Old Mussolini probably was the only one that wasn't, and he probably was too, but he wouldn't admit it. He probably lied when he said, if God should say he's my friend, I'd put my fist to him. It probably scared him to death when he said it. For fear took hold upon them there as pain, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Ezekiel 27:26. God has used those east winds in many ways, many times, and they come in different forms and shapes sometimes. But God can break the ships of Tarshish, the great merchant ships. Talk about Russia has got so much of a navy now. She's got so many submarines. God, with his east wind, is able to take care of all of them. That's right. And the Spanish Armada, My, what a tremendous, and they were mighty navy. God took care of the Spanish Armada, and Great Britain became the mistress of the seas from that time on down. Now Russia, she's making a bid, but God still controls the winds. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. That's what we've been seeing all through the scriptures. We've seen these things manifest. Let's see here. The city of the great king. That second verse, you might put Matthew 5:35 there. I don't think I gave you that. With this one, Ezekiel 27:26, I gave you. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of God, God will establish it forever. We have 1 Peter 5:10, with that eighth one maybe. 1 Peter 5:10, Hebrews 11:10, Galatians 4:26. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. 72:17, according to thy name, O God. 72:17. According to thy name, for his name is great and wonderful and greatly to be praised. So is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. That right hand is also speaking of Christ. It's prophesying of him. He's full of righteousness. He had nothing else but righteousness, separate from sinners and higher than the heavens and sinless. Let Mount Zion rejoice. That is the church. See, Mount Zion is a spiritual people. The spiritual people. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Because Judah now was almost gone, except that God had grafts her back in again, but the time is coming when he will. So let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about her, count the towers thereof, pay particularly attention to her strong points, her bulwarks and her fortifications and her fortresses and her ramparts, because you see the Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is all these things, and God himself is our refuge. God himself is our fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Look at it. All through the scriptures, and especially in the Psalms. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. 73:24 and 58:11. Isaiah 58:11. All right, that's all the time we have. Have a real good Thanksgiving vacation. Thank you.